We begin the current daf, Maseches Baba Kama, daf Nun Gimel. We begin on the bottom line of daf Nun Beis and Beis, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah, which was discussing different halachas in the Mazik of Bur. So the Mishnah said, Nafal Lafana Vachulu, if the ox fell into the pit, Mikoila Kriya, from the noise of the guy who was digging. So it was already a dug pit, but it was a guy who was expanding the pit. Because of the noise, the animal got frightened and fell into the pit. If it fell on forward, then the owner of the pit's chayv. If it fell la'achayr of backwards because of the noise of the digging, then the balabar is going to be pater. So what is the understanding of this halacha? So it's machlekes. Amar Rav, he says, lefanav mamash. When it says that the animal fell in face forward, it means literally that it fell on its face, and it died because of what's called the hevel, the foul air that it encountered when it was falling down into the pit. That's what ended up killing the ox. That's when there's going to be a liability from the balabar. La'achar of mamash, when it means that the animal fell backwards, I mean literally backwards, not with its head forward. And that's when the balabar is going to be pater. As the Gemara continues at the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, Rav explains, v'zeh v'zeh b'bar. Both cases, lafanav when you're chayiv and la'achar when you're pater, are talking about where the animal fell into the pit. And even so, the Mishnah is telling us that when he falls backwards, the owner of the pit is going to be exempt. Since the animal didn't die from the hevel, from the air, because it wasn't encountering that when it was falling, rather from the bang that it had on the bottom, and that's Karka Olam, that is Mishus Arabim, that the one who dug the pit doesn't own that land, it's the people of the community, they own it, and therefore the hezek wasn't coming from him, so therefore when it falls backwards, when it doesn't hit it face forward, then there's going to be an exemption. And the Gemara tells us, Rav L'tameh, this is Rav going according to his opinion, which he mentioned in Daf Nun Mebeis. The Rav said, Bar Shechayv Olav Taira, the bar that the Taira holds the owner of the pit liable for, is Lahavle V'loiv L'chavatai. It's only for the foul air that he created by taking away, creating this cavity in the ground. He created space air that was never there before. It's that he's liable for, but not for the banging that the animal gets when it hits the bottom. That's Karka Olam, that's not his ground, he doesn't own that. And therefore, when the animal falls forward, so then it's getting that hevel. When it falls backwards, it's not getting that hevel, and therefore it's dying from the bang. That, according to Rav, the owner of the pit's not chayiv for. Now, Shmuel Amar, he disagrees. Bebar, if the animal falls into the pit, says Shmuel, beimel fanav, beimel achar chayiv. Then whether if it falls in forward, backward, it doesn't make a difference, the owner of the pit's going to be liable. Shmuel etamei. Shmuel goes according to his opinion, which was mentioned there in Daf Nun. The Amar that he says, Lahavla, yes, you're right, the Torah's liability for the balabar is for the foul ear. But for Kolshkin Lachavata, Shmuel says, and for sure that there's liability for the bang of the ground there on the bottom of the pit, which this person dug and created now. So then how does Shmuel understand the halacha of our mission that says if the animal falls in backwards because of the sound of the digging, that the owner of the pit is going to be exempt? It's going to nitkel babar. What happened is that the animal tripped on the pit, but it didn't fall into the pit, because then it would fall and get banged on the bottom, and of course the owner of the pit would be chayiv. It fell behind the pit, outside the pit. For that, there is no, that's karka olam, that he didn't create. That is where Shmuel explains halacha is, that when the guy was digging, made noise, and the animal fell backward, because it tripped on the pit, that's not going to be the actual hezek of the pit. That's where the owner of the pit is going to be exempt. But if it fell into the pit, whether forward or backward, Shmuel says the owner of the pit is going to be chayv. Now the Gemara says, Esive, they asked to Rav from the following braisa that seems to contradict his opinion. The braisa says, Bibar, in a pit, bein lefanav, bein la'achav, whether forward or backward, chayiv, there is a liability. So to you have to Rav, there refutes Rav. Because it's saying, in the pit, even backwards, you're going to be chayv. That's like Shmuel, who says, yes, in the pit, you're always going to be chayv. It's only outside the pit. But Rav held that in the pit, backwards, you're potter. So the Gemara gives three different interpretations for Rav. Amrav Chizdi says, Maydir Rav, bebar b'shusa d'chayv. Rav agrees by a pit that he dug in his own domain, that then there is a liability if it's going to be even backwards. Why? Because the damaged party will tell to the mazik, either way you look at it, in other words, in the case of when he's mafka, the rishus around it, and then he still owns, however, the pit itself, says, either way you look at it, you caused the damage and the death of my ox. Why? If it, let's say, fell forward when it died from the hevel, so havla didachu, it's your hevel. You created that pit by digging out that earth. And if it died from the bang, meaning, let's say, it went backwards, Chavta didachu. It's your bang because it's in your rishus. You own it. It's your mamon chesha hezek. Imrishus of Rab, which Rab was talking about up until now. Yes, if it goes backwards, then the owner of the pit is going to be exempt because it's only from the chavat. He doesn't own the ground. But Bar Bishusa is the case where this Bryce is talking about, says Rav Chizda. There, Rab would agree that there would be liability, not just for Hevel, but also for the chavata. A second approach, resolution for Rav. Rabba Amri says, what are we talking about here in this Bryce that says that if the animal falls backwards, that there is liability? It's talking about b'mishapech, where the animal flips over. In other words, dinafil a'ape. First, when the animal falls into the pit, it falls face forward. Now, but before the animal reaches the ground, v'ishapech b'nafil agabe. Then it flipped over and it fell on its back. Where the havlo, that the foul air that entered it when it was originally falling in, the ahanibe that caused it to die, ahanibe, that's actually what caused it to die. So although it fell achrav, but since when it fell in, it was aape on the face, then it got the hevel, that's what ended up causing it to die. So that works well with Rav's opinion, yes. When he says la'achrav yapater, it's when it went all the time backwards. There was no hevel, then you're going to be pater. But here where it got the hevel, although it fell on its back, then, according to Rav, that would still be like the Braisa says, that the owner of the pit would be chayv. V'yesev Amei gives a totally different resolution for Rav. It says, Hacha, here in this Braisa, Beniski bar b'shoir arskinan. We're talking about where the pit is getting damaged by the ox. Not how we thought up until now, that it was the ox getting damaged by the pit. It's the pit getting damaged by the ox. In other words, an ox comes into the courtyard of a homeowner without permission. He wasn't mafkir, not his property, not his pit. And then the ox falls into the pit. Now, Mainihu, what's that case talking about? Shehivish es meimav, where he ruins the water of the pit. That's what the Rashi was saying. There it doesn't make a difference how the ox falls in, whether forward or backwards. The mechayev, that the owner of the ox is going to be responsible for the liability of his ox ruining the water of that pit. Yeah, there it doesn't make a difference. Lefanav or la'achrav, there we're not talking about the owner of the pit being chayav for the shor, we're talking about the shor being chayav for the damage it caused for the pit. So now that we resolved Rav's opinion from this braisa, the Gemara says, Tani Rav Chananya l'siyu l'Rav, that actually Rav Chananya taught a braisa that supports Rav's halacha. The braisa says, it says in the pasuk b'nafal, when it talks about that the shor or chamor falls into the pit, it says it falls. It says the braisa, at sheyipol derech nefila, the liability for the ox that dies in the pit is going to be until it falls the way an animal usually falls, which is face forward, because that's how animals usually, when they fall into depths, it's usually when they fall face forward. So says the Braisa, Mekan Amr, it's from here where they said the halach in our Mishnah, that nafal of the mikol akriya, if the animal fell forward from the noise of the one who was digging over there, chayiv, that's where there's a liability for the bahabar, because that qualifies for v'nafal. La'achrav mikol akriya pata, but if it falls backwards, as we'll see, it's not necessarily from Kol HaKri, in all situations, if it falls backwards from the sound of the banging, of the digging in the pit, then Pater, then the Baal HaBar is going to be Pater, Bezeba Zeba Bar. And both of these halachas, which exactly how Rav had interpreted the halacha of our Mishnah, is going to be regarding the exemption of the Achrav is in the Bar, just like the liability of the Funav is in the Bar, even if it falls into the pit, the liability is only if it's falling face forward, because again, according to Rav, the liability is of Hevel, but backwards, where there's no Hevel, there's only Chavata, then the owner of the pit is going to be exempt. Now, however, the Gemara asks a fundamental question on this halacha of our Mishnah. Amamar. So he said in the Mishnah, Nafal lefanav mikol akriya chayv. If the animal falls forward from the sound of the one who's digging over there, which is a different guy than the guy who owns the pit, then the owner of the pit is going to be liable. So we explained the halacha, whether it be Hevel or Chevet, the animal is dying because of the pit. But on that, asked the Gemara, Vamai, but why is the owner of the pit chayiv? Neima koira garim le, let the owner of the pit say that it was the one who was digging who caused the death. Now, moreover, as Rashi points out, the digger himself is going to be exempt because that's what's called a grama ba'alma. It's just indirect cause. Yes, the digging frightened the animal. The animal fell then because of that into the pit. But the owner of the one who was digging is just a grama. Now, moreover, the one who is digging is not the owner of the pit. Rather, he was just hired to extend and expand the pit. So we're talking about a pre-existing pit, and because as Rashi says, because if the guy who's digging now was the guy who made the pit in the first place, then he would be chayv, the one who dug it. Because although, let's say, the owner had sent him as an agent to go ahead and dig it for him, that would be considered shlich l'dvaveir, which does not attach the agency to the one who sent him, because it's forbidden to destroy and ruin the Rishus HaRab. So obviously we're talking about a pre-existing pit. This guy's just extending it. That asks the Gemara, so why is the Bala Bar Chayiv? The one who caused the damage was the one who was digging, because he made all that noise, and that's why Amal got frightened and fell in. So therefore, no one should be chayiv. The Bala Bar, because he didn't cause it, and the one who caused it, because it's only a grum b'alma. So Amar Rav Shimon bar Ashi says, Hamani, who's the Tana by Mishnah? It's Reb Nosson. It's going like Reb Nosson. The Amar that he says, you're right. The one who caused it is exempt, and the Bala Bar didn't cause it. But the Amar Reb Nosson says, Bal HaBar HaZekah Ka'ovid, the owner of the pit caused the damage. In other words, since the owner of the ox found his dead ox in that guy's pit, essentially, the owner of the pit is the one that caused the damage. Now, although really the one who caused it was the one who was making the noise, but that's where Reb Nosson holds, when you cannot collect from the other party, where in our case, talking about the guy who was digging, where the noise was what really caused it, but he can't collect from him, because although he caused it, but in halacha it's called a grama ba'almahu, you can't collect in the human courts from something that was an indirect cause. So it says, Reb Nosson, when you cannot collect mihai, mishtale mihai, then you could collect from the owner of the pit. Because ultimately, although he didn't cause it, he was the end of the damage, because that's where the animal ended up being killed, although it wasn't the direct cause, or even indirect cause, he was the sum total of that damage. Since it's found over there, he is held liable. As the Gemara said, the Tanakh Luna Brisa, this source of this halacha of Reb Nosson. The Brisa describes a case, Sheikh Chadocha Veschaveri Labar. One ox pushes its fellow ox into a pit. Says the Tanakhama, Bal Hasher Chayiv, the owner of the ox is liable. Bal Abar Pata, the owner of the bar, is going to be exempt. And that is, as Rashi explains, whether if the ox that got damaged was a mentally deranged ox, or whether it was an intelligent ox, doesn't make a difference, because the owner of the pit tells to the ox that pushed the animal in, saying, if not for your ox, this animal would never have fell into my pit. That pushing was an action, not just a grama, so therefore the owner of the shor is going to be chayv, the owner of the pit is going to be exempt. But Reb Nosson, he says, no. Balasher Mishal Mechza, the owner of the ox, the mazik, pays half. Ubalabar Mishal Mechza, and the owner of the pit, pays half of the damages. The reason being, because it was between the two of them that the animal ended up being killed. The shur because it pushed in, and the pit because it received it, and that's how it ended up dying. Now, even if the shur that got damaged was a pikeach, which we say in other places, the Mishnah explains that the balabar is exempt, because Iboyle Liyune Umezel, the ox should have looked where it's going, and therefore the negligence is on the shur and not on the balabar. In this case, the owner of the pit would be chay, because you cannot say Iboyle Liyune Umezel, as Rashi explains, because the other ox pushed him in. What do you want from the owner of the damaged shur? Says to the balabar, you want me to be responsible for my own ox that should have watched where it was going? It was, but this ox pushed it in. So you can't say Iboyle Liyune Umezel. Now you're right, you didn't cause it, but you're a partner with the shur that pushed it in, and therefore the balashur pays half and the balabar pays the other half. And that's the same halacha over here, where although there was one party that caused it, where in this case the guy who was digging, but there is a partner. The partner is the one who the pet that it ended up falling into and dying in, that's a partner. Now there where the shur will pay half, so the balabar will pay the other half. But in the case of the guy who's digging, where he doesn't pay anything because he's a grumba amma, so then his partner will pay the other, whatever is not being paid by him, which is the entire damage, which is the halacha that we're saying, that the balabar is going to be chayiv in the halacha of our Mishnah, even though it's mikola kriya. Now, however, the Gemara asks, the way we just said from Reb Nosson that it's half and half between the balashur and the balabar, asks the Gemara, Vatan Balun, the Brayser, Reb Nosson, he says, Bal habar mishalom gimel chalakim, the owner of the pit pays 3/4, and the owner of the ox pays only a quarter. So which one is it? Is it 50-50? Or is it quarter, 3/4? It says, it's not a difficulty. Ha, betam. In the case of when we say that the balashur, the owner of the ox, pays only a quarter, that's talking about where it's a shur tam. I think more later on is going to explain why it gets divided like that. And ha, bemuid. But the case where it says that it's 50-50 is talking about where it's a shur hamuid, when there's a liability of nezik shalom. With this, the Gemara is going to expound on this a little bit more, is that each one is going to be chayiv for 50, for half of it, miman of shoch. Either way you define how they jointly caused the damage. And that is, if you say that both of them caused the entire damage. In other words, through either one of them, without the other one, we're talking about the two of them made the death of that other ox. The ox by pushing, and the pit by having the hevel and having the chavata. Now, if you say that either one of them could have caused the death, so now you say that now even though they're both doing it together, but they're shearing, they all had 100%, but now they both did it together, each one pays half. Or even if you say that each one only did half, in other words, without the other one, it could not have caused the entire damage. So same thing over here, so each one did half, so whatever they did, that's what they're paying, because it's a shear hamud. So he did half of mud, which is chazi nezik, and he pays half, which is going to be 50% too. Now, the Gemara clarifies the halacha about ubetam ma'ikisavar. What's the understanding of Rav Nosson when regarding a shur tam, which you described the halacha is that there the owner of the shur that was the mazik is going to pay a quarter, and the owner of the pit is going to pay three quarters. Ikisavar haikuli hazeka oved v'haikuli hazeka oved. If you say, as we just described these two options, that really both of them individually are causing the entire damage. In other words, because even without the pit, the ox would have killed the other ox just by pushing it with such force that it did. So it's as if the shur totally killed it by itself. And the same thing applies to the pit. Since even without the force of the push of the ox that fell in would have died on its own, it's as if the pit was totally responsible for the death of the shur. And therefore, actually, that's why we were so stringent on the balabar, that he didn't only do half, he did the whole damage himself, and that's why he has to pay three quarters. But the problem is, Hai Mishalim Palga V'Hai Mishalim Palga. The halacha actually should be not quarter, three quarters, it should be 50-50. Because since the owner of the shur, his ox really caused the entire damage, so then since it's a shur tam pays the chatzin nezik that it caused. Because really it's responsible for whatever it does. And whatever it does is the entire damage, which is chatzin nezik. So why is it three quarters, one quarter? It should be 50-50. He has to pay for whatever he did, which is, as a shur tam, is chatzin nezik. And then a balabar will pay the other chatzin nezik. And v'ikar savar, and if the Tana holds, if Rav Nosson holds, that since both of them did it together, actually it's not that each one's like doing the whole damage himself. Rather, high palge hazeka oved, v'high palge hazeka oved, we consider as if the shur and the bar individually only did half the damage. They didn't do the whole damage. But then the problem is, then the halacha should be that Baal HaBar, the owner of the pit, which a bar always has halacha as a mu'ud, should be Mishalim Palga, should pay half, because a pit is a mu'ud, pays Nezik Shalom, but you only did half the damages. So you only have to pay 50%. Ubaal HaShar, and the owner of the ox, since we're talking about that the ox really has only a responsibility of a quarter, because we're explaining it's a shur tam. A shur tam always only pays chatzi nezik. And you're saying that even in the nezik itself, which it pays chatzi, it only did half of the damages because the other half was done by the bar. So that's why it should only pay revia, a quarter. And v'idach riva mafsi, the other quarter should be a loss for the nezik. Why is it three quarters a quarter? Either way, if you identify it as each one doing all of the damages, it should be 50-50. If you consider it each one doing half the damages, it should be 50 and a quarter. It should be half and a quarter, and the other quarter should be lost. Why is it three quarters Baal HaBar and one quarter Baal HaShar? By the case of a tam. So Amar Rav explains, he says, Reb Nosson Dayinahu. Reb Nosson was the Av Beis Din, he was the head of the rabbinical court, as the Gemara at the end of Masechtas Horis explains. V'nachas lo'umka d'dina, and he plumbed the depths of this law. And he explains, actually, two different options. La'olam k'saver ha'ikula ha'zeka oved v'ha'ikula ha'zeka oved. Explains Rava, Reb Nosson holds that really each one individually caused the entire damage. But then the question you had was, l'shalom ha'ipalga v'ha'ipalga, then let each one pay half. The shur tam, who caused all the damage, as the shur tam pays 50, and the mu'ud, of the bar, who also caused all the damage, since he's a partner, should pay the other 50. Why is it three quarters a quarter? And that explains Rava, Reb Nosson held Mishum de Amalei Baal HaShur LeBaal HaBar. It's because the owner of the ox could tell the owner of the pit, Shutfusoi Mayahanili. My partnership I have with you, what am I gaining from that? In other words, without my partnership with you, the pit, which you were part of the killing of this ox, I anyways would have paid Chatzin Nezik because it's a Shur Tam. Now, since the owner of the pit also was somewhat responsible for the damages, therefore, says the Baal HaShur to the Baal HaBar, you have to share in my responsibilities. Now, by you taking another 50% is not helping me. You're a mu'ud, you have to pay half at least, maybe even whole. Now, I'm taking one half, so you're taking the other half. But my half that I'm paying, you're not helping me anything. By you being a partner and accomplice in my crime, you have to share some responsibility. For my chatzin ezek, you're not taking. I'm a shor tam. I anyways would have paid without you only chatzin ezek. Therefore, you have to take half of my chatzin ezek, which makes the bal habur to be 3/4 and the bal hashor to be 1/4. That's one approach. Iboy same, or if you want, says Rabbi, you could say, La ilam ksava, really their emnosin held, high palgezek of it, high palgezek of it. Each one did only half. Now, the kashlach, then the question that you had asked was, Bal habur, mishal, and palga, then if each one only did half, so the bal habur should only have to pay half. Ubala shur mishal, revia. And the owner of the ox should only have to pay 1/4 because he's only a shur tam. A tam only pays half even when he does all the damage. Here we did only half the damage, so half of half should be 1/4. V'idach riva nefsid, the other 1/4 should be lost. Why is it 3/4, 1/4 should be half and 1/4? And that says Rav Mishum de Amalei Bal Hashor LeBal Habur. It's because the owner of the ox, meaning the ox that got damaged, the nizik, will tell to the owner of the pit, look, ana, me, turoi bebirich ashkechasi, I found my dead ox in your pit. At ketalte, you killed my ox. I found my dead ox in your pit. So look, whatever I could collect from your partner, your accomplice in the crime, the ox that pushed my ox into your pit, I'll collect from him, which is only 1/4, as we explained. What I cannot collect from him, I'm going to collect from you, because ultimately you are the one that has all the responsibility. You have a partner, I'll collect from whatever I can collect. But the rest, which I cannot collect, although partners usually go 50-50, but your partner is not paying 50, he's paying only 1/4, as the halacha is, for a short time, and only half the responsibility. You are the other partner, although it should be 50-50, but it's not, he's only paying 1/4, so you got to pay the 3/4, because that's where I find the damage in your, so you are going to accept the brunt of the payment, and that's why it's 3/4 and 1/4, and not 50 and 1/4 and the other 1/4 being lost. Now, however, according to the opinion of the Rabbanu who disagree with Reb Nosson, they hold we only go based on the original cause of the damage. So they hold that the Baal HaShor is responsible for all the damages. So therefore, by HaShor HaMu'ed, so the owner of the ox is going to pay all of it, and by HaShor Tam, the owner of the ox is going to pay only half, and the other half is going to be lost. The Baal HaBar doesn't have to pay for anything. And the same thing regarding the Halacha of our Mishnah, the Rabbanu disagree because we're saying the Halacha of our Mishnah is like Reb Nosson. They hold that who caused it was the one who was digging. And therefore, they're actually both going to be potter. The one who was digging was because he's a grama ba'alma, and the balabar because I didn't cause it. It was the one who was digging who caused it, and therefore, they're both going to be exempt. The halacha of a mishnah holds the balabar is chayv, is like Reb Nosson who holds, even though he didn't cause it, but that's where it is, where you can't pay mehai, so then you're going to collect mehai from you, which is where I found my dead ox inside your pit. Now, continuing on this halacha, the Gemara tells Amar Rava. Rava says, regarding a case of a pit that was already dug. Now, another person came now, and he niach even al piabar. He put a rock by the edge on top of the pit. Ubashar ben nitkalba v'nafal babar. Now, an ox is walking along, trips on that rock, and falls into the pit. Says Rava, banu l'machlekes Reb Nosson Rabbanan. Now, we have entered into that prism of the machlekes Reb Nosson and the Rabbanan, which is, according to Rabbanan, the owner of the rock is going to be liable because he caused the whole fall, similar to the case of the shor shor chafay libar, that he holds that the shor is liable for everything. Now, Rashi points out that although we said that grama ben nizakin, as in the case of the one who is digging, making the noise, is putter, says that's not the case by a rock, because a rock qualifies as a bar, and therefore it's an active cause as any bar, which is immobile, but it's an active hezek, as we learned in the third parak of Chav Chesma Beis, that Avnei Sekina Masai is similar to the halachic paradigm of a bar, although it's not moving, but it's a bar, and therefore it's not just a grama that it caused it to fall into the pit, it's a bar itself, and therefore the Baal Ha'evan is going to pay for everything, whereas according to Reb Nosson, it's going to be shared amongst the two of them. He holds that that's a shared expense regarding the Baal HaShor and the Baal HaBar, so to over here, it's between the Baal HaEvan and the Baal HaBar. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, pretty obvious. What's the difference between a shor and a bar, or an even and a bar? What's Rava teaching us? So the Gemara says, Ma'udu Tema, you would have thought to say, Hasam, who is only over there by the case of the Brisa of Reb Nosson and Rabbanim regarding when the ox pushes another ox into the pit. The Amar Balabar, Labalashar, that the owner of the pit tells the owner of the ox, Ilav Bira Didi, if not for my pit, Turididach Avakatale, your ox would have killed it. So therefore, that's where they have the shared responsibility. because the owner of the pit could say, it's not only my fault. Your ox would have killed it without me. Aval Hocha, but in this case with the rock, Matzi Amali Bal Evan Labal Habar, you were thought to say that the owner of the rock could tell the owner of the pit, wait a second. Ilav Bira Didach, if not for your pit, Avnan Didima Hava Avdar, what would my rock do? In the other case, the owner of the pit could say, what do you mean? Of course. The ox pushed it, it would have killed it. But here the rock is saying, what do you think? What would my rock have done? Yav Mitkalba, had the ox just tripped over the rock without your pit there, have enough of a kai, would fall and get up. But now that your pit is there, it's your pit that caused everything. The rock is doing nothing. Kamash Malan, that's what the Chiddush of Rav is that he's saying. The Amar Lei that the Baal HaBar could tell to the Baal HaEvan, Ilav Evan, it's not true. If not for the rock, we'll have enough of Labir would not have fell into the pit. And therefore, it's not only my responsibility. We're going to share that responsibility between me and you. Or according to Rabban, it's actually all the Baal HaEvan. But that's the Chiddush. You would have thought that maybe Baal HaEvan, the rock, is not the same as an ox. That's the chiddush that, no, the rock does, because although, yes, without any pit, it would not have done damage, whereas that would be the case by the shahr, but since now with the pit, it's the rock that caused it to fall into the pit, that's why it's the same as the same machlekes as what it is with the shahr and the bar. Now, continuing on this similar theme as the halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara says it, my learned as follows. So continuing to Amud Beis, the following case, which is a discussion between Abaye and Ravina. The case is shahr, an ox, Vishar Psuli HaMakdashim, together in tandem with an ox, what's called Psuli HaMakdashim, which when you have a carbon that develops a mum, so now it's invalid of something that was Kaidish. Shenagacha, if together, jointly, between the two of them, they gore another ox. Now, there's parentheses in Agamar, which is a large discussion regarding its reliability in regards to the text itself. We're going to read it as there is such a Girsa in Rashi, which the Mefarshim Rashi explained, as similar we find in Taisus, that the words Hey Gimel on the top of Rashi, where although usually that's Hachigir Sinan, that the Mefarshim explained that's actually reference to the Baal Halachis Gedoilis. And therefore it's not really, doesn't have fidelity with Rashi's Pshat as we see in other places, but we'll explain it the way it's printed in our Gemaras. So the Gemara explains My Nihu. So what is this case? What is the Shur B'Sulim Mekdashin? It's a Shur B'Chayr. It's an ox that was a firstborn animal, which is automatically from its birth a carbon bechar, but it became pasul, it had a certain invalidating factor, so it cannot be brought as a carbon. The loy parakleh, which was not redeemed. Now, the way it's quoted in our Gemaras of the Rashi is that it's talking about a firstborn animal that developed a blemish, which cannot be redeemed. Now, the reason why it cannot be redeemed is because, as the pasuk teaches us, and we learn it from Gezeirus HaKasuv, even when it's redeemed, it still has certain halachas, in contrast to other kachim, that it requires a higher level, even when it's redeemed. That it can't be sold, you can't do certain things for it. So since it cannot be redeemed, explains this girsa, that it cannot be removed from its original kedusha. So therefore, we qualify, even though it's a baal mum, it's psul mikdashin, as a shor of hekdesh. Now, as this girsa says, that even though the kohen could eat it, It's still not called Shari Ehu, because even though the Kohen's eating it, he's eating it as other karbanos Mishulchan Gavai Kazachu. Now, so why did it say specifically a case of Psula Mekdashim, where essentially you're just comparing it, according to this Girsa, the same as a regular carbon? Why didn't it just say Shar and Shar and Hektish, that gourd? That's an added Chiddush, where although that it's a Bechar, that's a Balmum, still it's going to be Pater since it's not redeemed, and it cannot be redeemed. But, as this Girsa says, but regular Psulim Mekdashim, which are redeemed, in contrast to Bechar, which cannot be redeemed, then whoever owns the animal would be liable to pay if it gored, because that would be considered Shari Ehu, because it's not a carbon anymore. It's considered the ox of your friend, which if it gores another ox, is liable. As the Gemara tells us later on, that a Shar of Hedyat that gores a Shar of Psulim Mekdashim is liable because that's already considered Shari Ehu, so both being as a Mazik or a Nizik, it's considered like a person's regular Shar. But again, according to Rashi's, as the Mefarshim point out, Rashi's actual opinion is that we're not talking about a Bechayr, and these parentheses are not from the Gemara itself, and it just wasn't redeemed. So that's where the halacha is, that we don't qualify it as Shari Ehu. But either way, according to either interpretation, we're talking about an ox that's not considered as Shari Ehu, rather it's similar to like the Shar of Hekdesh. So you have two oxen. One is responsible because it's a regular ox. Its partner that helped it gore and kill that other animal is not responsible. It's not Shari Ehu. So what's the halacha? Abaye Ami says, Mishalm Chatzi Nezik. So Abaye says the owner of the regular ox is going to be liable for half the damages. And the other half is the loss of the damaged party, which essentially is the halacha as it always is by regular shertam. Now, this would be going according to the opinion, as the Gemara first originally says, like Reb Nosson, who says what you cannot collect from one partner, you collect from the other partner. So it's like as if the one of the regular share, not the share Psalm Mikdashim, has no partner, because regarding to the Hezek, he can't collect from him. And therefore, he pays the full half of chatzin, the full half of damages, which is what the halacha is by Shur Tam, that there's only liability of chatzin Hezek. All of that is being accomplished by that one ox, because the share Psalm Mikdashim is not paying for anything. Ravina Amar, however, he says, Misham Ravina Nezik. No, that ox that will be paying only pays a quarter of the damages and not Chatzin Nezik. So what's the understanding? So the Gemara explains. Hava Habatam. Both Abaya and Ravina are talking about Asher Tam. Now, Ha Kerabonim. Ravina is going like the opinion of the Rabbanim. That's what is going to be only liability of a quarter of the damages, because since he has a partner. Now, this guy that it cannot collect, the damaged party cannot collect from the other ox, because it's psulei hamikdashim, it's kachim, so the nizik ends up losing. But he doesn't have to pay for what the other one, that was only a svar we saw by Reb Nosson. But you can't collect from one, you collect from the other. The Rabbanan didn't differentiate. It says, no, whoever caused the damage, caused the damage. Here you have two partners causing the damage. He has to pay a quarter, he has to pay a quarter, which will equal chatzin nezik, which is the liability of what a shor tam is. Now, he's not paying his quarter, okay, it's not my responsibility. That's where Ravina says the obligation is a quarter of the damages. Abaya was going like Reb Nosson, who Abaya says that no, the two of you caused chatzin nezik. You caused a full amount of damage, but since it's shor tam, you have to pay chatzin nezik. Now the two partners, okay, should be a quarter, but he's not paying a quarter because it's shor b'psulei mikdashin, so you have the responsibility of all the chatzin nezik. That's one approach. Or another approach is that havah k'rabbanan, that actually both Abaya and Ravina are both going like Rabbanan, and they don't disagree, because ha betam. Ravina was talking about a case of a shor tam. That's where the shor of the regular person has to pay only a quarter of the damages because he has a partner. And again, we're going like Rabban, who say when there's a partner, so the partner has to pay the whatever he's responsible. And if he doesn't, that's not my responsibility. And ha, b'mu'ud, Abai was talking about a mu'ud, which then he pays chatzin nezik, and the other half gets lost. Again, like Rabban, who say because the other partner has to pay his part, he's not paying, fine, it's not my responsibility. That's one version of the discussion of Abaya and Ravina, which we're saying it's not a machlekes, just one's going either like Rabbanan and the other one's like Reb Nosson, or they're both like Rabbanan, but one's from a tam, one's from an amud. Igidami, there are those who say that Abaya is the same as we said in the first version, which Amar Chatzin Nezik, he says the liability is half the damages. Ravina Amar Kulei Nezik, in this version, Ravina is not a quarter, he actually says that shor has to pay all the damages. So the Gemara explains. Havaha b'mu'ud. Both Abaya and Ravina are talking about when it's the shor hamu'ud. But ha, k'rabbanan, Abaya, who says only chatzin nezik is like the Rabbanan, who says, okay, I'm a mu'ud, you're a mu'ud, you got to pay half, I pay half. You're not paying half because you're shor b'psul mikdashin? Okay, it's not my responsibility, I'm still only paying chatzin nezik. V'ha, k'reb nasan. Ravina, who said that it's nezik shalom, is like Reb Nosson, who since it's shor hamu'ud, if I can't collect from your partner, like a lishtu mehai, then I'm going to collect it all from you, you got to pay all the nezik shalom. Or Ibai Sema, or if you want, you could say, ha v'ha k'reb nasan. They're actually both like Reb Nosson. Ha b'mu'ud. Ravina, who said you have to pay nezik shalom, is talking about a shor hamu'ud, which again, as we said, according to Reb Nosson, that's the halacha, he would have to pay all of it, because the partner he can't collect from, then you collect from the other partner. V'ha b'tam. Abaya, who said it's chatzin nezik, is going in the case of shor tam, which even according to Reb Nosson, they would have to jointly pay chatzin nezik. He's not paying his quarter, so he has to pay that quarter, which is a total of chatzin nezik. Markatin is in a related discussion. Amar Rava, he says, Sharva Adam Shedachafai. Regarding an ox and a person that pushed something else, Libar, into a pit. So it turns out you have three partners in the damage. You have the ox and the pit and the person. So depending for what, we'll see how the liabilities get distributed. So Le'inin Nizakin, regarding injuries, damages, for example, let's say they pushed in a person and they got injured in the pit. So Kulan Chayavin, all three parties are going to be responsible to pay. In other words, amongst the three of them, they're going to have to pay the loss of value of the person that got injured. And the reason is because all three of them are responsible for the type of damages of a person. Because Rashi says, although we know the drasha that always is said regarding the damaging of a pit, where it says Sharvale Adam, but that's only regarding the death of a person. For example, let's say a slave falls in and he dies. But regarding damages, there is liability of a pit regarding a person. And Rashi points out, moreover, obviously here we're talking about this discussion of Rava is going according to the opinion of Reb Nosson, who doesn't go after just who was the original cause who pushed it in, because then there wouldn't be liability for the pit. It's going like Reb Nosson, who says that all of them are partners in the responsibility and the liability of the damages. So regarding the Zaken, they're all responsible. Lin Arba Dvarim, let's say regarding the other four things, besides the damage of the person, where the medical bills, the loss of work, or the things which are called Arba Dvarim, the baishis, the humiliation, and for Dmei Vladis, let's say the human that was pushed in was a pregnant woman, and now there's loss of the fetus. So Adam, the person that pushed her in, it's and he's going to be chayv, he's going to be liable. But the other two parties, the ox and the pit, are going to be exempt. And that's because, as we explained in the Chavav Man Aleph, it says, Ishba Misai, regarding the Chamisha Dvarim, is a man and his friend, but not Sharba Misai. And so, too, regarding Dmei Vladis, regarding the loss of the fetuses, it says in the Pasuk, Anoshim, but not Shvarim, and therefore that's only responsibility of a human, not of a Shar and a Bar. Lenya Kaifer, and if regarding if the person that fell in died, which that's Alocha, that then there's a requirement of giving atonement money for the value of the person that died. Or Ushleshim Shel Eved, regarding if a slave that was pushed in and he died, where the penalty is that the one who killed the slave has to give the 30 shkalim to the master of that slave. So that halacha only applies to Shar Chayv. That halacha of Kaifer and of Shleshim Shel Eved applies if an ox, as the Torah brings down that halacha by a Shar Hamu'ud, that's where we have those liabilities. But Adam and Bar Peturin, but the other two parties, the person and the pit, will be exempt. A person is because he's actually liable for the death penalty of having killed the person if he pushed him into the pit and killed him. Now, as Rashi points out, even if actually he wasn't warned beforehand, well, then he's exempt from the death penalty. But as the Tana de Bechizki teaches on Daf Lamehe Amud Aleph, you're still going to be exempt since it's in that category of something that person would be liable for the death penalty for. And Bar is also exempt, as we know, Shevel Adam. So there's no penalties regarding the death of a person. Regarding liability of a vessel that breaks, or regarding an ox of psuli hamikdashim. In other words, if let's say they push a shur that was a carbon that became invalid, which was redeemed, which that is considered shuri ehu after it's redeemed. So that halacha is adam b'shur chayavin. So the person and the ox will be liable, but a bar potter, the bar will be exempt. So the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason that bar is going to be exempt? Similarly, Kalim and Shepso Mikdash, and they're like regular things that another person owns. Why would the bar, we know why bar is exempt on Kalim, that's the drush of Chamer B'le Kalim, why is it exempt on Shepso Mikdash? Similarly, it's a regular Shari Ehu after it's redeemed. So in that Amakra, the Pasuk says in Shemais, V'hameis Yi'aloi. It says that when a person's ox dies in the person's pit, so the corpse will be for him. Meaning to say that he has to be able to sell the nevela, that he could utilize it, meaning b'misha meishalai. So this halacha says by pit, it's by someone that the corpse is for his, that he could utilize it. Yotze zeh, that excludes this halacha she'ina meishalai, where even though the carbon that developed the blemish, that was then redeemed, that then it's considered the person's thing, but it's not his that he could use it as when the animal is a dead animal carcass, because it actually needs to be buried. Because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Becharis, after Tesvav Menalv, the halacha is regarding Psul Mekdashim that are redeemed. There are certain words utilized in the Pasuk that tell us, Tizbach, you could slaughter it, but you can't share the wool. Bast, you could eat its meat, but not the milk. Vachat, you could eat it, but V'loy L'Kavecha, you can't take the carcass and give it to the dogs. From there we learn that you can't redeem Kachim to feed it to dogs. And therefore, although Psul Mekdashim is owned by the individual, it is Sherbi Eyu, but it's excluded from the Pasuk Vamesi Alai, which tells us that regarding the liability of the Baal Habara, it's only going to be if the mess can be utilized in its state after it was killed. But if it cannot be used, it's not Yalai, then there's no liability of the damages of the bar to the Sherb Psul Mekdashim. Now the Gemara asks on this point that Rav is saying, remember the Pshit Leila Rav, is this to say that it was obvious to Rav with this halacha that there's no liability for a bar to Sherb Psul Mekdashim? Because even though it's owned by that individual, it's Sherry Ehu, but it's not Vamesi Yalai. But but this was actually a question that Rav had asked if we say this halacha. Because the Bay Rav had asked this question. Shur psulim mekdashim shenafel lebar mahu. He asked, what is the halacha with a shur that was a carbon that became invalid, which was then redeemed, and fell into a pit, so it's owned by an individual. What's the halacha? And the question was, haiva meisi aloi. This, the pasuk says, that the mess belongs to him, to the damaged party. B'misha meshaloi is only talking about someone that can utilize a dead animal carcass. Yotze zeh sheina meshaloi. Maybe that excludes the halacha b'sulim mikdashin, which you can't use a dead animal carcass because you can't feed it to the dogs. It says, v'achalta b'loi l'klevecha. Or maybe Rabbi said, v'amisi aloi. That pasuk comes to teach a different halacha. It's l'bayla metablam b'navelahu da'asa. Comes to teach us that the owner of that ox, he has to be involved in taking that dead animal carcass, as the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Yudim Abayis, when it says Vamesi Eloi, it's talking who's loy? Who has to deal with the dead animal carcass? Does the Mazik have to compensate a brand new shur to the Nizik and he has to deal with it? Or is the Nizik has to deal and he only gets compensated the difference of the dead animal carcass for how much it was alive? And that the Gemara says over there, it's for the Nizik. So it's that the Bailam, the original owner of the shur, they have to be busy with the dead animal carcass. What do you mean? You took my shur, it was worth 1,000, now it's worth 100. I have to go get it out, sell it for 100, and now you pay me back just 900? That's a different drasha you could say for Vamesi Eloi. That's telling you that the mace belongs to him, to the Nizik, and therefore it's not extra to say this halacha of Yotza, someone that is not Shaloi, that he can't use it. So how can Rabbi say it that that's the halacha when he asked it as a question? The Gemara says, "Busted the bayah, had the pasta." After he had asked it, he then resolved it, which is what our Gemara is going based on that premise, which is that it's excluding psuli hamikdashim. Vamesi Eloi says that only if you can use the mess. If it's psuli hamikdashim, you can't use the mess, then it's not including halacha of the bar's obligations and liabilities for killing the ox. So therefore, that's why Rava had said that it's only going to be the shur and the adam that's going to be responsible for the shur psuli hamikdashim and not the bar. Now, so the Gemara asked, however, if that's how he resolves and explains the pasuk of Mesi Eloi, so Elabayla Metab Benavela Manoli, so then where does he know that drasha, that the Nizik, the damaged party, the victim, he has to be busy with the Nevela, and he only gets the difference, if seemingly as others learn there from that pasuk of Mesi Eloi. So the Gemara says, Nafkele min Mesi Eloi Deshar. There's another similar words in not the Mazik of Bar, but in the Mazik of Shar. It says, Vamesi Eloi, from there is where he learns that regarding the damaged party, he has to be busy with the dead animal carcass, and he doesn't get a brand new shar from the mazik. And we learn bar from shar. So the Gemara asks, my chaz is the Vamesi Eloi dis shar. Where do you see fit to make that difference? That when it says Vamesi Eloi by shar, mafkis loy, what do you use it for? Labal metabal nevela. To say that the owner, the nizik, he has to be busy with the nevela, and but however, by regarding the mazik of shar, you're going to make him liable when the shur gores psuli hamikdashin, because you're not darshaning, oh yotze zeh she'ena meshaloi. You're saying no. Vamesi Eloi means to say that the nizik has to be busy with that. Vamesi Eloi debar mafkis leila mesha meshaloi. Whereas when you have the same words by the mazik bar, you don't say that it's to say that the bala metabba nevela. There you say that it's telling you that it's only for the one that it's messes is, which excludes the liability of bar for psuli hamikdashin. I can tell you the exact opposite. That actually that there will be liability of Besulim HaKdashim by Bar, because Vamesi Eloi by Bar is telling you that by Lam Tabin Nevela, and maybe by Shar, it's excluding him by the Mazik of Shar from Besulim HaKdashim. Yatsa Misha Amesha Ena Shalai. How do you know that by Shar is the stringent one and Bar is the lenient one? So I think more answer, Mistabi Peturga by Bar. It's more logical to say the exemption is by the Mazik of Bar. Why? We find other leniencies of payment by Kalim, which sure is chayav on Kalim, but Bar, as we know, chamor b'lo Kalim, is exempt on Kalim. So therefore, since we see it's more lenient by Bar, so therefore we make the more lenient interpretation of the drasha of Yotze Misha Ena Meshaloi by Bar and not by Shar. Nothing more asked, Adarabah, to the contrary. P'tur Gabi Shar, which I say the exemption is by the mazik of Shar of the Ox, shekein potter by Chatzi Nezik, we find an exception only unique to Shar, which the first three times only has to be Chatzi Nezik, in contrast to Bar, that's a mood right away. So maybe we should make the Molin interpretation by Shar and not by Bar. I think more says, but Kuli Nezik Mis Le'ashkechan. However, we do not find by Shar, as we do by Bar, that an entire exemption from any payment where we find by Kalim, by Bar, but by Shar we don't find that. We find, yes, sometimes it's Chatzi Nezik, but to be totally exempt for damages that it caused is only by Bar, as we find by exemption by Kalim, and therefore we're going to make the Moli interpretation for being totally exempt on the Shar Psulim Mikdashin by the Mazik of Bar and not by the Mazik of Shar. The Gemara continues to explain the halacha of a Mishnah that said, Nafal Teicher Shar v'Kalim v'Nishtabru v'Chulu. If let's say an ox with its Kalim falls into the pit, or a chamor with its kalim falls in and into the pit, it gets torn. So regarding the animal, there's liability for the mazik of bar, but regarding the kalim, there's exemption. So the Gemara says, Masnin like Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. It's not like we learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev and Niske Kelim Bebar. He holds that there is a liability for the damages of utensils in the pit. So the Gemara says, my time of the Rabban. What's the reason Rabban, and where did he see fit to say that the bar is exempt on Kelim? Damakra. Because the pasuk says Shemayis when Nafas Shama Shor Eichamor that it will fall into there into the pit that was made an ox or a donkey. So why do we pick specifically to say Shor Eichamor? So they're exclusionary terms. Shor an ox tells us b'loy adam and not a person from the fact that it could have just said b'Nafas Shama Hanayfal that whoever falls into it. Why does it pick Shor Eichamor? It's coming to exclude. Which the Gemara later on is going to ask, then how do you know other animals? Maybe they're all being excluded and actually the liability of Bar is only on Shor Eichamor. But one thing we see is that it's excluding Adam. And Chamar, when it picks a donkey, is to tell you, V'leik Kelim, that there's no liability on the utensils. But Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you are Chayav on Kelim, Oi, the word Oi, when it says, Shor Oi Chamar, that Or is L'Rabbis of the Kelim. That's an extra word to tell you that's including Kelim in the Hezek of Bar. But Rabbanan, they tell you, as we continue on top of Nandal Manav, that no, Oi, mi boy l'lechalik. You need the word Oi, Or, to differentiate, because if you didn't have the word Oi, so then you would think that you're not going to be chayv on the hezek bar until it kills an ox and a donkey together. If it didn't say or, you would think b'nafal shama shor chamar. So maybe you need to have both. You need or to differentiate and say either or. But Rabbi Yehuda, he disagrees. He says no, oy is extra to make the drasha to include kelim, because l'chalek regarding differentiating mivinafal nafke. He says you already know that from the word b'nafal, which is in the singular. If it meant both, it would have to say b'nafalu. In fact, it says singular, we know it's either or, and therefore the word oy is extra, and that's why it comes to include kelim. But Rabbanah, they disagree. They say, no, v'nafal tu v'mashma, it's not true. The word v'nafal, although it's said in the singular, could mean many, as Rashi brings a few different proofs. V'asa b'tzal v'aliyav, which is going on multiple things of building the Mishkan, or uvoha ois v'amayfis, which was many different things, or uvoha ariv esadayv, it's more than just one, even though it's saying uva in the singular. So you see that singularity could include pluralism. And therefore, that wouldn't tell us that it's differentiation. And therefore, you need oy according to Rabbanan to differentiate, and it's not extra to include kelim. Whereas Yehuda disagrees, and therefore he says the word oy is extra because you know from a nafal already that it's only on one. Why say oy l'rabbis like kelim? So obviously, the halacha of a mishnah is not like a Yehuda who holds that you are chayim and kelim by butter.